So I wanted to continue our discussion looking at stewardship, and today talking about the stewardship of the Sabbath and what that means. And in Exodus chapter 20, you might want to turn there or turn your devices on and look at Exodus chapter 20, which is really looking at the Ten Commandments. And it's interesting because this whole idea of the Lord's Day, you realize that Sunday is the Lord's Day. We are right now in the middle of the Lord's Day. And what does that mean? And the idea of stewarding our Lord's Day and taking Him in. Right now, it's what's happening in the world we live in is quite challenging. I've been reading a lot of information about what's going on in the church today. And we've talked a little bit about this, about how we're seeing more intermittent attendance in church, where the whole idea even coming to church has been changing dramatically. A lot of people are now not coming every Sunday. They don't necessarily see the value of it. And it's a trend right now in the church that's scary because of what the implications are and what this means in so many different ways. I was looking at one current report, 2014, which is just, you know, a couple years old now, and they were saying that the number of church attendees has dropped by 92% across America. And so what that means is they put that in real numbers, somewhere between 60 to 70 million believers are no longer attending church, and they've defined it on a regular basis, where you would go, let's say, just one day a week. That many millions of people who call themselves believers of all different denominations are no longer attending church. And so, you know, the whole trend that's going towards is frightening, and ought to be frightening to all of us who are believers. I mean, you're really seeing the world attack the concept of Sunday and what it means. I mean, we're calling it different names. I've seen some things, for example, that are being advertised. Well, Sunday is family day. You know, those kinds of things. We're hearing a lot of information about, and you kind of wonder, well, what are people doing? Are they going online? Are they looking at video clips? Are they what are they doing? And we're actually discovering that they're not doing anything. I mean, you'd like to think that there's some alternative happening. Well, the alternative's nothing. So we're staying home. We're doing other things. We're, you know, and again, it's not, you know, I just want you and I to understand, you know, spending time with the family, those are good things. You know, occasionally going out and doing fun things on a Sunday. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's really the idea of what was God's intended purpose for this, what we call the Lord's Day on Sunday. And I believe that our understanding of this is absolutely critical. And so what I want to do is understand. Now, it's interesting. I looked up, you know, I love the dictionary. I don't know if you guys like dictionaries, but sometimes one of the first places I go to when I'm, you know, looking at a concept or a, you know, a word or whatever. And so I actually looked up the dictionary, Webster's definition of the Lord's Day, and then you can find it. Let me just read this to you. It's just a sentence. It says, the Lord's Day, a religious day of observance and abstinence from work, kept by Jews from Friday evening to Saturday evening, and by most Christians on Sunday. And you hear that, and you kind of like, there's a lot missing there, isn't it? I mean, the whole idea is a religious day, that sounds cold, that observes and has an abstinence from work kept by Jews and then Christians. Kind of interesting. What really is going on? What's the purpose of it? Now, in Exodus chapter 20, we have really the beginning of the establishment of the Lord's Day. Now, the Ten Commandments are 10 really statements of how to live life. Now, I want you to look at, and as you're looking at that, we're just going to look at one right now, but we've actually done a study. I've actually titled a series that we did years and years ago called The Boundaries of God, because I really believe God's boundaries are so critical in understanding boundaries, because what we have here are 10 boundaries that God is giving to us about how to live life, you know, what we're to do, different things like that. 10 commandments are still valid today. That's not just Old Testament. It is, in fact, something that's restated in the New Testament. Matter of fact, if you study this, and we have done this in the past, and you look at all 10 commandments, every single one of them are reinstated and affirmed by Jesus in the Gospels. So if you're wondering, you know, are the 10 commandments affirmed in the New Testament, the answer is yes, every single one of them. And that includes the Sabbath. Now, I want you and I to take a look at what is being said here. And if you look at, starting in verse 8, we're going to read the beginning of a Sabbath day. Remember, it says, to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days a week are set apart for your daily duties and regular work. But the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. Let me stop there for a second. There's some words being used there that are important, because what we really have here is establishment of a day that is said to be holy. Now, holy in this concept here, the word is in the Hebrew, kadosh. And a lot of you would remember, we've talked about this in the past. The word kadosh means to be set apart. It even says, you can notice a little play on the words there, 6 days a week are set apart for what? Daily work and activity. But then here is the one day of the seven also set apart as a special day. Now, holy is really a pretty simple concept. And if you think about it, this chair is a common chair in this room. We all have a chair kind of like this right now, don't we? And we would say, because we're all sitting in it, it's common. Matter of fact, you know the word profanity, or to be profane, literally means, you can look it up, means to be common. So for example, you know where sometimes we get a little frustrated and you perhaps have heard others, I know no one here would ever do that, but you would take the Lord's name and out of a moment of frustration and you would speak to Jesus. And we would call that profane. Here's what's happening. You're taking the Lord's name and commonizing it. You're saying the Lord's name isn't that special, so I can get frustrated and get angry, and I can speak the Lord's name anytime like anything else. That's the very concept of being profane. But the Lord's name is holy. This chair can become holy by me going ahead and putting the chair here, and I would say, okay, now this chair is a special chair. And you can only sit in this chair, because I'm going to call it a holy chair, on Sundays, and you can only sit on it at 11:45 to 11:46. There's 1 minute when, and you have to have a special certificate of accomplishment in how to sit in a holy chair. Now, because I have set it apart, I've made it special and unique, now this chair is a holy chair. Your chairs are just common everyday chairs. But what makes it special is that we have set it apart. Now, there's a lot more obviously to God, but that's the concept of holiness. And so what you have here is the scripture is saying that this seventh day is to be a different day in comparison to the other six. Now, on that day, no one in your household may do any kind of work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male, your female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them, and then he rested on the seventh day. Right? We're talking about Genesis right now, chapter 2. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as what? Set it apart. Now, I want you to begin to understand, like the title says, this day has been designed as a day to celebrate God's creation. The very concept of what's being said here, and you look at what's happening in Exodus chapter 20, it's saying God did this amazing creative work over 6 days. Literally, he created the entire universe out of nothing. And then he was done. The word says that he completed the entire process in 6 days. And then on the seventh day, it says he rested. Now, you got to understand, I know most of you know this, he didn't take a nap. It wasn't like, oh, wow, man, that was hard work. I need to watch some football now today. Or, you know, I need to take my, I mean, of course, Sunday naps are holy. Can you see me into that? I mean, that of course, is part of the Sabbath day. But what's happening here is God is saying, I did all this amazing creative work, and then I took a step back and looked at it and said, wow, look at what's just happened. And that's the idea of celebrating God's creative work. And what the Lord is saying to you and I, and what is being taught to us, is that we ought to have a day that we can step back and go, wow, look at your creative work, God. Look at creation around us. Look at all the amazing things that have happened. Look at all that's taking place. And then we began to celebrate God's handiwork, not only in the past, but also what's happening right now and what we might hope for that's going to take place tomorrow. So I want you to begin to understand that when God set aside, I mean, you think about it again in Genesis chapter 2, it tells us, verse 1 through 3, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished, done, completed. He got the work done. On the seventh day, here it says, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the work which God had created and made. He took a step back, and there was a total change of pace. Are you with me on that? So the beginning and the teaching of what's happening here is that the Sabbath day is a day to celebrate and take a step and go, God, wow, look at everything you've done. Now, it's interesting because the Sabbath day then is reinstated again. Because you remember they had a little bit of a problem and they kind of were wandering around for a while. And now we come to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And once again, we have the retelling of the events of the Sabbath day. And in chapter 5, we see a little bit of a different slant to it. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting verse 12, it says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Okay? Kind of about the same thing, right? Now, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, having remembered all that, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Pretty strong language is being used here. But now, what's the emphasis on this passage in Deuteronomy? The emphasis goes back to remember that you were slaves. The Sabbath day is a celebration of the salvation of God. Because what was the whole point of the Exodus, of what God did? He freed Israel from bondage. He freed them from slavery. And now it's interesting that they've been wandering and all that's been going on. We're at the 39th year before they enter into their 40th year. And it's being restated, you need to not forget the Sabbath day and celebrate God's salvation. God saved us. The very word means to rescue, to be saved, to be delivered. And so now you begin to understand that the Sabbath day is a celebration of, one, his creation, his creative work, and two, his salvation. Every one of us has been saved by God, by Jesus. He died for us. He rose and conquered hell and death for us, and ascended to the right hand of the Heavenly Father so that we can have the gift of eternal life. And if you will, that was part of what was the message of the deliverance out of slaves in Egypt. In the same way we're slaves to the world, we have been delivered and we've been saved. And so this is the day to say, God, thank you. Thank you that I can remember and celebrate your amazing creation all around me. And the fact that you saved me. Isn't that powerful? Now, these things have been stated. And we have really now the big question is, so what about the New Testament? And again, this is where it becomes fairly controversial. Because a lot of people have had a lot of ideas and they've made it too complicated and a lot of things. And again, I wish I had the rest of the afternoon to do a study with you on this because there's that amount of information. But I want you to begin to understand that, again, Jesus, in fact, reaffirmed a Sabbath day. But he brings us to a different concept of celebration in the Sabbath day. Now, the passage I want to look at is Mark chapter 2. And this amazing event's going on. It says, now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, right? So this is that one day that's been set aside. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Right? So what's happening here? Okay, something has happened. They've done something that isn't right. And so once again, this is where the complication comes up about the Sabbath. And so, I mean, once again, you know, isn't it true that mankind takes godly things and makes it way too complicated? Anyone feel like I do? Well, that's kind of what's happening here. And so they're saying, and so he said to them, Jesus saying, man, haven't you ever read what David did? I mean, you know, King David, we all love him. And when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, well, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread? Whoa, that's big stuff. I mean, you think it's bad to have, you know, a little bit of corn here, you know, taken out of the field. They ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. And I could see all the priests going, yeah, yeah, absolutely. That was really a bad thing. That's why we have, you know, established all these new things. And Jesus blows everything up with this absolutely revolutionary statement. And then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Oh, talk about ruining your day. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Now you read that, and a lot of people don't quite get that. But what Jesus is saying is the Sabbath wasn't designed to be master over man. It wasn't designed to have mastery over human beings. It was designed to teach us, to remind us, to refocus us. He's saying the Sabbath was created so that we could understand his grace. See, if you go back one slide here, the Sabbath celebrates his grace. So think about it. The Sabbath celebrates his creation. The Sabbath celebrates his salvation. The Sabbath celebrates his grace. And then Jesus says, you know what? The Sabbath is a celebration of all he has done for us. So here's the deal, is that we get together on a day like this and we reflect and we think and we meditate on the fact that, God, you have done so many things for us. Living life with you is absolutely amazing. And we begin to see God's grace. We begin to see his hand in everything we do. And then this is reaffirmed. It says, and there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. And it's interesting, this word Sabbath rest, for those of you who are students and love like amazing words in the Bible, that word in the Greek is used only one time here and nowhere else in the Bible. Now, if you're a student of Greek and the Word of God like that, you see that and you go, wow, this is cool. Because when something is done that way, there's a message. And the message now is talking about that this is something that we enter into in order to experience God's grace. The Sabbath isn't a legalistic thing. The Sabbath is about God's grace and the miracles he does around that. Can you say amen to that, church? I've asked Lee to come and share for a second. He shared a story with me that you guys have to hear. We need a microphone for you. I'm not sure where it is. But if we can get a microphone, that would be great. But this is something that's coming. This is something that's so amazing because it's just going to take about, you know, a minute. But he was sharing his testimony about the Sabbath day. And I heard it and I thought, oh man, you've got to share this because it really just is a great moment right now to share this. So Lee, come over here. And you were sharing with me about, let me, you got it on?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm ready.
You ready?
No. No, I'm ready. There we go.
Okay. So you remember you were talking about This is from your, now you were in the military, in the Navy,
right.
And you were on a submarine, right?
That's
right?
Correct.
So you're under the water kind of guy, and that's had, you know, really amazing, you did an amazing responsibility. Tell us about this one commander that you had. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was pretty epic. If anyone in here, a fellow bubblehead like me, anyone? All right. Yes, I know. You'll especially appreciate this. So anyway, I was checking on board a brand new submarine for me, the USS Wyoming. And typically this never happens, but we had at the same time a brand new CO, XO, and chief of the boat, the Cobb. They typically do not replace the whole chain at one shot, but due to circumstances, that's what happened in our case. Our captain, the XO and the Cobb, all three were believers. And what was so cool was our very first captain's call, the captain got the crew together, and he said, I want you to know I do things a little differently. He says, one of the things that you're going to find that I do differently is whether we're in port, whether we're at sea, whether we're in refit, he says, we will not work on Sundays. He says, Sunday is a day of rest. He says,
you're saying the commander of a submarine,
yes,
in the military spoke to everyone in the crew.
Yes.
What kind of a submarine was this?
This was a nuclear-powered Trident-class submarine.
So with about 150 guys on there or so?
Right.
And so you've got all these guys listening to this, and he just said to his team, we are not going to work on Sundays.
That's correct.
Go figure. Yeah.
And he even went as far, and Pastor Ken will appreciate this, he said, the nukes will not even train on Sundays. That's our engineering department back there. You would appreciate that, wouldn't you? Yes. He said, we will not even have training on Sundays. He says, Sunday is a day of worship, and it's a day to rest and prepare for whatever we have in store for us. He said, if we honor God and keeping that day the way he has called us to, he says, he will honor us. And he says, I promise you, we will pass every inspection, we will always get underway on time, and we will be the top boat on the coast. And, well, it was better than on the coast. We won award after award for the time that they were together and the way as we continued to operate that way. And that was unheard of. And it was an amazing. Crew morale was ridiculous, even for those who didn't believe necessarily, but because that was the way he did business, morale was off the charts on that boat, and we dominated everything that we did. It was epic.
Oh, wow. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I think we could dominate everything on the peninsula. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We could get the most awards and do the very best by giving this day to the Lord. I mean, is that like amazing to hear that? I mean, who does that? See, when you honor God, when you set aside the day, God brings blessing. And that's one of the things that you won't know. That's why it says in Malachi, you don't believe me? Test me in this. Try me in this. And watch if I won't pour out heaven in your life. You know, I hear that and I think, God, you have called us to set aside a day of Sabbath rest, to celebrate his creation, his salvation, his grace, and the fact that he has done so much for us. You know, when you and I set aside this day, I believe we are called to declare, Lord, you are the first and foremost in all my life. Lord, you are the one that I turn to whenever I need help. Lord, you are the one living in the center of all my life. By taking aside this day, we are declaring to the world around us, God, you are number one. And right now, the world is trying to steal away that day from us. You just think about it logically. We know lots of people who stop attending church. They stop setting aside the Lord's day. And we hear the stories. They slowly get away from God. And they get away from a healthy living. And they all of a sudden, you'll hear the stories of how life began to change and how all of a sudden, you know, they'll come back maybe months or years later, and then you'll hear the stories of, wow, I was miserable, or things weren't so good. I mean, I really missed that day of refreshing. I mean, that's something that will typically happen. And a lot of times we just, you know, some of us just don't believe that this day is that big of a deal. And you won't believe that until you separate yourself from the day. And it's not just a day to go fishing. not just a day to go ahead and, you know, recreate. It's a day to spend with God. God says you need to rest. You need to be refreshed. You need to reflect. You need to think. You need to focus things on me to look at and to be able to take stock. And at some point, maybe even have hope again. I mean, haven't you ever had a really bad week? And you think, thank God there's going to be Sunday. Because Sunday's going to come and I get a chance to reset. I get a chance to reboot. I get a chance to put things back in order. And then I start my week off with the Lord, and then Monday comes. And maybe Monday will be a better week, but you will never know that unless you bring that first day back. You got to understand something. Sunday isn't the end of the week. It's the beginning of the week. Our week started right now. And God said to give him the best, to give him the first. And so we're giving him the first day of our week, and we're declaring, God, we really love you. We believe in this thing called the principle of one. We're committed to have one ministry, one small group, and one entire day for the Lord. We really believe that everyone who is a part of Jesus and the life of this church, there is one ministry that you're involved in. There should be something you're doing. And then secondly, you're a part of one small group that you just kind of a part of. And then we give one entire day to the Lord. Something happens when you and I rest in the Lord. You know, that switching of gears, the just the changing pace, the ability to look back and see what God did Monday through Saturday. You know, to kind of take stock of, God, you were, some of us can look back and go, Wednesday, God, you were, there was grace there. I don't know how I got through that meeting. I don't know how I answered that phone call. I don't know how that situation took place, but God, you were there. Thank you. And to take stock of what happened. Otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to keep right on going, and then you're going to lose it. You're going to lose that sense of God's grace and the opportunity to celebrate the work of God. And once again, that's exactly what Satan wants. Because before you know it, the weeks go by, the months go by, the years go by, and all of a sudden you wake up and going, wow, what happened? I've seen more people all of a sudden wake up years later and going, I miss so much. It can happen really easily. And the world wants to convince you that what you're doing is okay. You know, well, it's for the family. Or, you know, I worked and made extra money, you know, or I had to get this or that done. And I'm going to tell you, it's like boiling the frog. It's insidious. Because I watch people literally move away from God. Listen, a lot of people have tried to do this differently. A lot of people have experimented with lots of different ways of living. Let me just really get to the bottom line. This is God's way and the only way. Setting aside the Sabbath day works. Everything else does not work. Let me save you the heartache of trying to figure it out. If God wanted us to do something differently, he would have given it to us. But he established this as a way of living life, as an important way of living life. And so you and I commit, and so we come to this understanding of how important it is to rest on the Lord's day. You know, God says, unless the Lord builds a house and the work of the builders is useless. This is from Psalm 127. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives what? To his loved ones. So what is the psalmist saying here? Trust me. I don't trust you, God. I got to work 7 days a week. I don't trust you, God, because I know if I don't do this, something's not going to happen. You just heard an amazing testimony of what happens aboard a submarine where they set aside that one day and they blew apart everyone else in terms of success as a team. I believe the same thing's true in a church. Our success is dependent upon you and I functioning as a team and setting aside the Lord's day. We are a team here. We're not a collection of individuals just hang out once a week. We are a team. And when we function as a team and become a united family that works together in building the Lord's house, you know what's going to happen? Great things. If we don't function that way, you know what's going to happen? Not so great things. I want you and I to begin to understand how significant. Do you realize they did a study to prove how important rest is? They did a study on shoes. They paid some guy who had a PhD to study the wear and tear of shoes. And here's what they discovered. If you get two pair of shoes and wear them every other day, your shoes will last four times longer than they would if you only wear one pair. Is that amazing? You know why? Because you let your shoes rest. So you need to buy more shoes. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. I've had a couple of shoe companies pay me for that advertisement. But it's a true story. The fact is, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, if you interchain your shoes, I mean, I got a pair of shoes here because I trade off. These shoes, you know, I wear just a couple of times a week. I've had these shoes for probably 5 or 6 years. And they're still great. And it's one of those things where it really does work. If you wear the same pair of shoes, you will wear them out much sooner than unless you give them rest. That's true for us as well in terms of what God is speaking to us. You know, I still remember when my mom taught me about what happens before you cross the street. You remember what your mom taught you before you when you were a little kid? That's right. Stop, look, listen. Say that with me. Stop, look, listen. That's what God wants us to do on the Sabbath day. You remember what your mom said? I'll never forget. You know, before I would cross the street to go be with my friend or go play, I had to come to the curb, stop, look both ways, and listen for the air brakes of the semi that I probably wouldn't see so I wouldn't get squished. I mean, you didn't realize, but semis travel down residential streets looking for little kids. So I stopped, I looked, and I listened. That sounds like instruction for the Sabbath day. Stop. Look around. And then listen. What does God have to say? And maybe we'll get on the other side without getting run over. There's something about what God wants us to do, and the Sabbath day is a day to check in, to allow Him to work in our lives. It's such an important day to recover and to rest. I mean, you think about how many marriages are saved because they do time out. They take a break, you know, in the midst of a conflict. I mean, you saw what happened in the Super Bowl. 21-3. Praise God they had a break. Halftime. And they went in there and everyone thinks they're going to come out and the game's over. People were leaving the game. But they had a break. The coaches sat down and talked. And actually, you can look up. I got the partial quote from what the coach said to the team. I thought it was interesting. He got the team together and said, okay, guys, we're going back out. And we get to start over again. And he said, quote, let's just play one play at a time. And they went out and won. Halftime is a great metaphor for a Sabbath day. Sometimes you need to come in here and hear God say, okay, look it, I'm sending you back out. And let's take it one play at a time. And you know what? We'll get through the week. Can you say amen to that, church? This is a day that you and I need to refresh. The Lord's Day is a day to refresh. You know, it's an opportunity to, if you will, to resharpen, to get ready again. You probably, I don't know if I've said this before, there's a story of Ed and Bill. Ed and Bill were hired to cut down trees, right? And so they were paid per tree. And so the idea was that they would go ahead they would go, just give me another second, would you? They would go ahead and they were going to cut the trees down. So they kind of made a contest out of it. So they had all these trees. They had one day to do it. So Ed and Bill are just, you know, knocking down the trees. And Ed said, you know what? I'm going to beat this guy Bill out. And he just, I'm going nonstop, 8 hours cutting down trees. And he just started going at it. Now, Bill, on the other hand, he was taking a break every so often. He cut down about six trees, and before he did the next tree, he took a break. So the day comes to an end. Ed and Bill are talking. Ed looks at Bill and says, I don't get it. I have been working my butt off all day. I did not take one break, and you cut more trees down than I did. Why? Ed looks at Bill and says, well, you know when I was taking a break and resting? He said, yeah, I was sharpening my axe. Now, don't take this the wrong way, but some of you are becoming dull blades. And the Sabbath day is a day to rest and refresh and sharpen the blade of your soul and your spirit and your mind and your heart. You know, the Lord wants us to have a meaningful relationship with Him. Part of my mission is to help you understand how important it is that you and I relate to Jesus. There was this thing that we talked about, and I just want to remind you. The Sabbath day is a great day to hover over the Lord. I don't know if you remember when we talked about it. I learned from my diving that in order for me to really enjoy reefs and see life, you got to learn to hover. Because in the beginning, when I was a brand new diver, I would go up to the reefs and I would just, man, I there might be four or five reefs and I wanted to make every one of them. I only had 45 minutes of air, so I had to go from reef to reef and move quick. And here's what I didn't realize is that when I moved that quick and came up on a reef, I scared all the fish away. Because I'd hardly ever see fish. And I was so frustrated. I mean, I went all that way to go to Hawaii to see fish. And I went there and I'm coming back on the boat. And I'm listening to these other divers talk about all the fish they saw. Did you see that eel? Did you see that stingray? Did you see? And they're going on and on. And I'm saying, I saw coral. I remember saying to one of the old-time divers, I said, man, why am I not seeing anything? He said, well, you know, I was kind of watching you. I said, you were? He said, yeah, you move way too fast. I said, what do you mean? He said, here's what I've learned to do. And he used these words, I've learned to hover over the reef. He said, when you first come up to a reef, the fish are scared of you. But if you slow down and just hover, they'll come out. And you will see some amazing things. And you know what? He was right. I don't need to go to five reefs. I can just go to one and hover. And life comes out. The Lord's day is a day to hover and watch life come out. Because you'll miss it if you go too fast. Let's pray.